He was a boy asking his father about the goings-on of that time. He and his friends had seen this prophet. They'd heard him a couple of times. But, you ask your dad, "Dad, is it true that our nation is departed from God, that we have kind of gotten away from the covenant? Is it true, Dad, that, we have a lot of the Baal worship in our nation?" And his father, and because this prophet, why do you ask all this? Because this prophet is saying that we're going to be conquered. This nation is going to go into captivity because we have all these sins. And he says we're robbing the widow, there's bloodshed, there's immorality. One man takes another man's wife, and we're going back and forth on that. This prophet is saying that if we don't clean this up, there's going to be captivity here. Well, what about that, Dad? Are we worshiping Baal? Well, son, there are just a few. There are a few temples of Baal. I mean, that's not the main thing. Remember, we have the house of the Lord right here in Jerusalem. And you don't have to worry about that. I mean, we've got the house of the Lord. But, we have to be tolerant of other religions, too. We have to be able to accept, foreign religions as they come into Judah. Yeah, but Dad, why do they jail this prophet? I heard the king the other day jailed him. They put him in a dungeon. And look, Daniel, you're getting all excited about a few things here. You and your friends don't have to worry about this. But Dad, he's saying that there's going to be this king up in Babylon is going to come against us. Son, look. We all know that the northern tribes, we know they were taken captive by the king of Assyria. But you remember when the king of Assyria came after us, our great king Hezekiah stood bold. And we went to God, and God defeated Sennacherib and all of his army and just laid them waste. We've got the temple of the Lord here. God is right here with us. We can't possibly go wrong. Yes, but Jeremiah said just the other day, Dad, that don't say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. He just said that. Well, look, son, Jeremiah is one prophet. We've got a whole bunch of other prophets. Those other prophets are saying nothing like this can happen. The other prophets are saying we're coming into a greater time of peace and prosperity. And the reason they're jailing Jeremiah, the king can't put up with a person just continuously being negative about our government, about our society. He can't have that here. Because, Jeremiah's going to be bad for business. He's going to be bad for commerce. He's going to be bad for the religions. He's just, he's condemning everything. He, even talks about the priests and how false they are and how corrupt they are. We just can't have a person that negative, son. Yeah, but Dad, do you think it's fair to throw him in jail in a dungeon like he does? And then, they let him out and he still preaches the same thing. Son, I don't think you need to worry about this. I think all will be well. I mean, after all, it's one Jeremiah against all these other prophets who are preaching peace and prosperity that we're going to have. He never forgot that when he got old. And in his time of maturity, Daniel must have reflected on all those situations. Because in the first wave of the king of Babylon, they don't just didn't conquer Judah all at once. He came in on the first wave. And in the very first wave, which happened in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And in that first wave, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, I'm reading from Daniel 1 and verse 1 and 2. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them into the land of Shinar, into the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the king, the chief of the officials, to bring some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family. Daniel's father was in the higher echelon of the society of Judah. and some of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning of knowledge. These were well-educated. These were the creme de la creme of Judah, who had the ability for serving the king's court, and he ordered them to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. On the very first wave of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, he came into Judah, and that was the first. And Daniel and his friends were taken. His friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were the friends talking. They were the friends that looked at Jeremiah. They were the friends that heard all these things. And now they're young men. They're teenagers and young men. And off they go to Babylon. What happened to Daniel's father? We don't know. He may have gotten killed in the first raid. Because if you were a father and they were going to take your kids, you'd probably put up a resistance and somebody may have killed them. But it didn't stop there. Jeremiah kept talking. Jeremiah kept saying. And then the first wave, people, Jeremiah, no, maybe you're right, Jeremiah. Well, then people said, no, he's not right. God said, and then here came the prophets. And one of the prophets, another guy, he says, it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen. God said, we're going to bring all those vessels of the house of God back here to Jerusalem once again. And Jeremiah said, not going to happen. God is going to put a yoke on our neck. And, Jeremiah walked around with this wooden yoke across his neck to try to demonstrate what's going to happen. If you don't surrender to the king of Babylon, and, I'm sure Daniel's father told Daniel, look, Jeremiah is saying these weird things. Surrender? I mean, that's almost treason. We're going to surrender to the king of Babylon when he comes? No, we're not going to surrender. I mean, we've got to defend the temple of God, and God's here. God's house is here. God's going to destroy him at the second wave. And you can read with me in 2 Kings what happened at the end. What happened at a couple of kings? I mean, Jehoiakim went out, Jehoiachin came in, and then they took him out. And now you had Zedekiah, who was the uncle of Jehoiachin, appointed as king, and he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Here we are. Let's read it in 2 Kings chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. In his days, that is, in the days of Jehoiakim, in his days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years, and he turned and rebelled against him. And the Eternal sent against him bands of Chaldeans, bands of Armenians, bands of the Moabites, and bands of Ammonites. So he sent against them, against Judah, to destroy it, according to the word of the Eternal, which he had spoken through his servant, the prophets. His servants, the prophets. Surely, at the command of the Eternal, it came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of all the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done. He appointed Manasseh over it. I think Manasseh was his uncle. And also the innocent blood which he had shed, and he filled Jerusalem with his innocent blood. That's what Manasseh did. And the Eternal would not forgive him. Would not forgive it. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Judah? Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, became in his place. The king of Egypt did not come out to the land. Now, what Babylon did, they went down and they took all possessions of Egypt, all the way from Israel, all the way down to Egypt, and all the land in between. Anything they found that were treasures of Egypt, they took it. Here it is. The king of Egypt did not come out of his land again, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt, from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king. So he had two people, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin, sort of like different names, but very similar. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan and of Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Eternal according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem, and the city came under siege. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. In person, the king comes, in person. Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. He carried out there all the treasures of the house of the Eternal. They went right into the temple, right into it, taking out of it all the treasures, all these golden cups, all these things, all the things that they had, all the treasures of the, and all the treasures of the king's house. And he cut in pieces the vessels of gold which Solomon, the king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Eternal, just as the Eternal had said. He cut them in pieces, sliced these things in half. And he led away into exile all Jerusalem and all the captains. This is about the third wave now. This is about the third time they were attacked. And all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captive, and all the craftsmen and all the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. He just left, you know, people that just couldn't do anything. People had no skills. People injured or infirmed, maimed. Just leave them. So he led Jehoiachin away into exile to Babylon, also the king's mother and the king's wives and officials, and led them all from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of valor, 7,000 of the craftsmen, smiths, they went, and all the men of war, they went into Babylon. Then verse 17, then the king of Babylon made his uncle Mattaniah the king in place and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old. He was the uncle of Jehoiachin. And he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah. Now, what happened was he rebelled against the king. Then the king came in, and they went in and burned the temple. They went in and destroyed the temple. So here's Daniel now. And what did Jeremiah say? Daniel now is in, he was there under the king of Babylon. He became, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar's right-hand man, if you know him. He was very high up in the Babylon government because he was trained in all the ways of Babylon. But in chapter 9 of Daniel, we read something very interesting and the things that were happening. Chapter 9 of Daniel, I'm beginning in verse 1. In the first year of Darius. Now, Babylon had come and Babylon had gone. The Persians and the Medes came in and took Babylon and had been destroyed. Typical of how God does. If he uses a nation to destroy his nation, it's not because that nation is so righteous. It's because that nation usually is bad, but God uses wickedness to punish his people. And then when that nation is finished, God usually destroys it. So here, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, and he got that kingdom because Cyrus the Persian appointed Darius, and you can be over this part of the Chaldean kingdom. So Daniel interacted a lot with this king, Darius. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Eternal to Jeremiah. Now, Daniel is studying, because when Jeremiah was there, when Jeremiah was prophesying, Jeremiah said things like this. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11. He said this: the whole land will be desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And in verse 12, then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon, which he did. And that nation declares the Eternal, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. I will bring on that land. So So Jeremiah prophesied 70 years you're going to be punished. 70 years. And so Jeremiah knew it. So here is Daniel now. He said, I'm thinking, why are we going to have these 70 years? Okay. And in the first year of the reign, I started to calculate the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Eternal to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, 70 years. I gave my attention to the Eternal to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I decided to go to God. Now, why did he decide to do this? Well, surely he was privileged to one of Jeremiah's letters. Jeremiah wrote a letter to all the captives. And you'll see this in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah, while they, you remember, all the people went up to Jerusalem. They went the first wave, the second wave. Well, Jeremiah, while the early captives, Jeremiah wrote a letter to them. And here's what he said. And I'm going to drop down, first of all, to verse 10. Drop down to verse 10. For thus says the Eternal, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. You're going to be taken captive. You're going to be up there. But 70 years is going to take place. And I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Eternal. For your welfare, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So after the punishment, God is going to come back and give them a future, a hope for something greater. I want to start this letter in the first verse 1, though. I'm going to stop, change my perspective here and go to verse 1, chapter 29, Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile and the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, and the princes of Judah and the Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by hand of Elisha and the son of Shaphan and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, and whom Zedekiah the king had sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the letter. Thus says the Eternal of hosts, God of the house of Israel, begins in verse 4, to all the exiles that I have sent into exile from Jerusalem. Now, this is Jeremiah's letter. And he says, build houses there. Live in them. Plant gardens there. Eat their produce. Take wives. Become fathers of sons and daughters and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. In other words, you're going to have a time to be married. You're going to have the time for your kids to grow up. You're going to have a time for your kids' kids to be seen. And daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Keep multiplying. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. In other words, be good citizens of Babylon. Seek the welfare. In other words, you think some pollution is here, try to straighten it out. You see some problems there, try to help them out. In other words, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Eternal on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Because you're going to be in Babylon a long time. For thus says the Eternal of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Eternal. The prophets were saying, oh, we're going right home. Hey, don't even worry about it. We're going right home. God's going to take us right back. He's going to deliver us. We're going to take all these vessels back to the house of the Eternal. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Eternal. For thus says the Eternal, when 70 years, in verse 10, have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you. I will bring you back to this place. We read in verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for welfare, not for calamity, for a good future, for a good hope. In verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. This is what you will do. Now, Jeremiah sent this letter prior to Babylon going down, prior to Persia conquering. You'll pray to me and I'll listen to you. You listen, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Eternal, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Eternal. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Because you have said, the Eternal has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. For thus says the Eternal, coming concerning the king who sits on the throne of David and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your brothers who did not go with you into exile. This is what he's talking to them. And he's saying, you know, he goes on and on with this letter. But Daniel heard this letter. Daniel must have had a chance to read this letter as they passed it around in the exiles. So what does Daniel do? In Daniel chapter 9, he says, In the first year, I, Daniel, observed the books in the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Eternal to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Eternal to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Eternal my God and confessed. So he's doing exactly what Jeremiah said you will do at the end of those 70 years. You will seek me with all your heart. You will find me. Alas, he says, and this is what I said. I said, alas, O Eternal, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled. And you would say, well, why would a nice guy like Daniel say this? Well, Daniel, you know, you're one of God's chosen. God reveals his secrets through you. God has given you visions and all that. Why do you have to say we have done it? Why don't you say they have done it? You know, no, he was part of it. Remember, he went to his dad. I am sure he did that. And dad, what do you think? You know, is Jeremiah right now? You know what? I mean, I don't think so. A lot of people are predicting him. You know, you can't go by. The other prophets are predicting this. And, you know, who's the right prophet? So on. Moreover, we have not listened, verse 6, to your servants, the prophets, who spoke to you in your name, to our kings, to our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us, open chain, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries in which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers. Notice, our fathers. Because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion, forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Now, if you want to see a repentant type prayer, if you want to see a way to seek God, you notice he's saying, you know, it's not you, God. You're perfect. You're wonderful. It's us. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Eternal our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel transgressed your law and turned aside not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which was written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he confirmed his words which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. And it is written in the law of Moses. Now, he's got a copy of the law. It's written in the law of Moses. All this calamity has come on us as it is written in the law of Moses. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Eternal, our God, by turning to him from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Eternal has kept the calamity in store and has brought it on us. For the Eternal, our God, is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done. But we have not obeyed his voice. So, now, that's a very powerful statement. And what is he talking about when he talks about the law? Let's take a look at Leviticus chapter 25, for instance. Leviticus is mostly for the priests. And Leviticus chapter 25, we'll drop down to verse 3. Here's the law of God. Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, this is verse 2 now, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Eternal. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath of rest. You shall not sow your field, nor prune your vineyard. Your harvests after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical rest, and all of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food yourself. In other words, you can walk and you can eat the food, but you can't harvest it. Your male and female slaves, and your hired men, and your foreign residents, those who live as aliens with you, they're allowed to pick up the food. Everybody's having it. You can't just say it's yours. Anybody can help themselves. The land is having a rest. Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall all have its crops to eat. They can eat it. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you shall have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. So every 7 years, bang, here's a Sabbath of rest. Every 7 years, there's another one. So until you have 7 of them, you have 49 years, and you shall then sound a ram's horn on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound the horn all through the land, and you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim for it a jubilee. Proclaim a release in the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his own family. You shall have the 50th year's of jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat the crops out of the field. Now, if you come to Leviticus chapter 26... and you see in verses 18, I'm going to drop down to verse 18, Leviticus 26. It is also these things you will not obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. 7 times. And I will break down the pride of power. Now, that's 7 times that people get carried away. I think it's 2,520 years. That's not what that means. It's 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's like you're counting 7 times. And I will, or 7 years. You're going to compound you 7 years. And I will break down the pride of your power. I will also break your sky, make your sky like iron, the earth like bronze. So if you don't listen to God, he's going to punish. In verse 20, your strength will be spent uselessly. This is what God promised against them. For your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruits. If then you act with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times again for your sins. I'm going to just increase it 7 times more. And I will let loose among you all the beasts of the field, which will bereave you of your children, and destroy the cattle, and reduce the number of that are on the roads, and the roads you lie is deserted. And if you don't do it, turn to me, and you act with hostility again, verse 24, then I will act with hostility again, and I will make you seven times for your sins. I'll increase it again and give you another 7 years. And I will bring upon you a sword and execute vengeance and a covenant for the covenant. And I will gather together into your cities, and I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand and into your enemy's hands. Into enemy hands. But I break the staff of the bread. The women will bake bread in one oven. They will bring back your bread in rationed amounts, so that you will eat and not be satisfied. Yet, in spite of all this, if you do not obey me and you still are hostile against me, I will act with a wrathful hostility against you, and I will even punish you seven times for your sins. So he keeps going here with this. And further, I will, you will eat the flesh of your sons and daughters in your Jerusalem. By the way, when they besieged Jerusalem, it was an awful. That's why Jeremiah said, you know, this is going to be an awful sight. And Daniel said it was an awful sight. When you come up and besiege it, and you won't let food come in or out, you won't let people come out and gather the crops in the field, and you just surround that city and you hold it captive and you can't get out, that is ruinous until the people are just starved and they've eaten up everything and have used the water and they've, you know, what do they do? What do they do? And you might even dam up the streams that come into it so they can't get the streams. I mean, you've really got yourself into a pickle when the forces surround the city and you can't get anything. You imagine how... Yeah, I know that we, in America, we think, oh my, the grocery stores have so much. You go in there, you don't realize that there are people stocking those shelves continuously. Every few hours, there's people putting stuff back on the shelf. They want it to look full all the time. They don't like shelves to look vacant. We always go into a grocery store and we think there's so much in abundance. Do you know how fast that store would be emptied if there were no big trucks pulling in? You see how many trucks coming in and out of these grocery stores and delivering all this stuff, you know, big canned goods and this thing and the milk and that. And they're constantly, it's continuous all the time. You think it's just, they've just got it. No. They have to have it delivered. Little restaurants that you see, and you order their food. They're having trucks come into the back part and, open it up, put the boxes in there. It's deceiving to us. We think there's so much. But if it was a run on it, brethren, it would be out in short order. It would be out in short order. And if a siege and you couldn't get any trucks in here or out here, you couldn't get any more, trust me, it would be devastating. I will destroy your high places. I'll cut down the incense altars. I'll heap your remains on the remains of your idols, and your soul shall abhor you, and my soul shall abhor you. I will lay waste your cities as well as make your sanctuaries desolate, and I will not smell your soothing aromas. You know, the people in Jeremiah's time, well, the temple of the Lord's here, and we sacrifice to God every day. We say, Jeremiah said, stop the sacrifice. Enough with that stuff. God didn't ask you for sacrifices. He asked you to obey his voice. When he brought you out of the land of Egypt, he wasn't talking to you about sacrifices. He was talking to you about obedience to God and living a right life. And I will make the land desolate so that your enemies who settle in it will be appalled over it. You, however, will I scatter among the nations. I'll draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities become waste. Then the land will, listen, verse 34. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of the desolation while you are in your enemy's land, then the land will enjoy rest. It will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it will observe the rest, which it did not observe on your Sabbaths while you were living in it. So the people didn't do it. And Jeremiah says it's going to be 70 years. And Daniel says, I want to find out what laws did we break. Daniel was looking, I see here, our people did not do these things. God, we just didn't follow what you said. We didn't do what you told us to do here. And if you drop down in verses 42, then I will remember. Okay, then after I've acted this, he said, I will also act with hostility against them. I will bring them into the land of their enemies, and if their uncircumcised heart becomes humbled, if they, verse 41, I'm going to drop all the way down, then, and so that they make amends for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham as well, and I will remember the land. For the land will be abandoned by them, and I will make up for its Sabbaths, and will make up for its Sabbath while it is made desolate without them. They, meanwhile, will be making amends for their iniquity because they rejected my ordinances and their souls abhorred my statutes. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, nor will I abhor them as to destroy them, breaking my covenant with them, for I am the eternal their God. But I will remember for them the covenant with their ancestors, whom I have brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the eternal. So he said, in the land where they go, I'm going to remember them. I will remember what they did. Now we come back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel says, I see this, verse 11. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law, the turned aside and not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God. For we have sinned against him. Verse 12. Thus he has confirmed the words which he spoke against us and against our rulers and against our great, with us great calamity. The whole of heaven has not been done anything like this. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us because we have not sought the favor of the Eternal our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Eternal has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us, for the Eternal is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And verse 15. Now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made a name for yourself as it is this day. We have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and of the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant. Now here's one man who says this had to happen. He remembers Jeremiah, he remembers that letter, and he himself gives the prayer for all his people, asking God to remember them now. Oh my God, so now, God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Not count of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Now that's his prayer. Was that prayer effective? I think so. You'll see the other part of the fulfillment of this, by the way, and it's the Second Chronicles. I just want to read you Second Chronicles 36, dropping down to verse 15. The Eternal, the God of their fathers, sent word against them and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on the people and on the dwelling place. And they continually... Now, when God sends his prophets, he does so, why? Because he has compassion on the people. But they continually mocked, verse 16, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. They continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Eternal arose against the people until there was no remedy. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans and slew their young men with a sword in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, old man or infirm. He gave them into his, the enemy's hand. All the articles of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Eternal, and the treasures of the king and the officers, he brought them to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God. Because you'll see up here that Manasseh, in verse 13, rebelled against the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, you see that? Zedekiah, not Manasseh, but Zedekiah. Zedekiah rebelled. I guess he thought, people, let's stand up and we got to... And Nebuchadnezzar came at him with everything. They burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its fortified buildings with fire, destroyed all its valuable articles. Verse 20, this is 2 Chronicle verse... Those who had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon. Those servants, they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Eternal by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land, listen, verse 21, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath. So there must have been 10 times they missed those Sabbaths. Every seventh year, and for 10 times, they never let that land rest. They never did what God said. And so now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Eternal, which he spoke by Jeremiah, by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Eternal stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout the kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Eternal God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's appointed me to build a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of his people, may the Eternal God be with you, and let him go up. May he stir you up. That's the end of the book of 2 Chronicles. May he stir you up to go to Jerusalem. That happened at the end of that 70 years prophecy of Jeremiah. But that isn't the end of Daniel's prophecy. Because as Daniel was praying, he gets a new vision. He gets a new word. He gets new information. And that new information affects you and me. And we'll talk more about that in our next sermon.